Welcome to Double Take, critical, sometimes confrontational, always amusing conversations about movies. Double Take is a Cinema Classics production produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. I'm Johnny DiLoretto.
I'm John DeSando.
This is our Double Take.
Yeah.
This is one of my least favorite conversations of the year.
All I want for Christmas is a good Cinema Classics show.
Oh my God. This is always so tiresome.
I know, but it never is. It's so strange. It never is for me. I was going to lead us off by something we've been doing for 15 years. That is talking about It's a Wonderful Life.
Right.
And because...
And also, yeah, whatever. Right, there are a handful of great Christmas.
But I wanted to start with that because I wanted to ask you how this can survive. How has it survived? Why has this survived? And the first one I want to talk about, for many people, the first one they turn to, what is it?
What do you mean? Holiday movies?
It's a Wonderful Life. How does that thing survive?
Well, I think it has deep, significant human meaning. That's why it survives. That's why it has survived.
Yeah.
It continues to survive because there are certain truths about our day-to-day existence in that movie.
Okay.
About our class struggle, about our hopes and dashed dreams, our relationships, how you hold them together. I mean, that movie is one of the richest films ever made.
And you know,
the Christmas element to it is just part of it. You know, and we don't have to belabor the point about It's a Wonderful Life anymore.
I was interested in its relationship, say, to COVID. Am I off by saying that I think there's some COVID business in here? That is the community having to come together.
The community, but in this case, the community rallies around an individual.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The bigger message there, the larger message, though, is why? Why do they rally around this individual? Well, it's because this individual has demonstrated loyalty and compassion to that community many times, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like High Noon, right?
Yeah.
It's the opposite of High Noon. In High Noon, the community abandons the sheriff.
Cool.
And It's a Wonderful Life, they do finally rally around him to save him.
Do they not rally in High Noon at the end?
He has to face off against them alone, right?
Okay.
That's why Howard Hawks was so mad about that he made Rio Bravo.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of My Magnificent Seven, where, again, the community comes in the end.
Yeah, they do. But there's a complicity there, you know, where in Magnificent Seven, that the Seven is teaching the community how to fight for themselves. They're teaching them how to aim, how to fire guns, how to blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it's not a surprise when they help.
Yeah. All right, let's switch over. I know. I'm thinking about my favorite, which is Bad Santa. And I always like to bring it up because it's so iconoclastic.
Mm-hmm.
Because Billy Bob Thornton is just foul-mouthed with this 8-year-old kid,
right,
or however old this kid is. And I love it for that because Christmas is so sacrosanct in our culture. It's like a hands-off time.
Yeah.
Nothing bad ever happens, and here we have Bad Santa. So that's the reason I love it.
And there's other there are Christmas horror movies. There's a whole genre of Christmas horror films.
Yeah.
And they keep coming out. There's one coming out. By the time this airs, it might be out. It's called Black Friday.
Oh.
With Bruce Campbell.
Okay. Here he is.
The shoppers are caught in a store, a department store with zombies or something.
Well, there are. I wrote down a couple of titles that kind of intrigued me.
Okay.
Of new ones that were coming, Miracle and Motor City. Smokey Robinson's something in there about it. And then Match Made in Mistletoe. And I have no idea what they are. But
listen,
there are new ones
here's
coming.
The thing. I got online and I was like, what are some, you know, because we do, the part of the reason why this conversation is so trying is because year in and year out, we revisit this concept or this topic. And it seems like, well, nothing has replaced the best films, right? And yet they continue to attempt.
Yes.
It's like Christmas songs.
Yeah.
And here's the really fascinating thing about a Christmas song new ones anyway, is the minute you hear them, you're like, this sucks, right? This is trash. For instance, I remember hearing Last Christmas, Wham, George Michael's Last Christmas, when it first came out in the 80s when I was a kid. I heard that and I was like, what the hell is this? This is trash. Now, by, you know, decades of exposure to it, I love that song, right? And it's kind of like the way It's a Wonderful Life worked. It flopped at first, but year in and year out, it quietly crept into the subconscious, into the hearts and souls of America, and then it became this thing. I wanted to ask you this question. Die Hard, you know, people talk about Die Hard.
1988.
Is it a Christmas movie, isn't it? It almost doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
You know how when usage dictates whether something is right in language or not, right? So if people mispronounce a word over and over again, eventually it becomes correct, right? Yeah. That's the same thing with Die Hard. People have had this silly conversation about it for so long that it has now become a Christmas movie.
Yeah, you know, and the thing that struck me was not that it's a Christmas movie, but it's about terrorists. In this case, he's saving his wife and the others from German terrorists. Now, that's 1988. Mm-hmm. Now, they're all from the Ukraine or somewhere else. You don't even get them.
But I was trying to think, you know, let's really wrestle with that for a second. What argument can you make that Die Hard is really a Christmas movie? And I think I can make a slight one, at least. The friendship that he forms with the cop.
Yeah.
It's about reuniting with his wife.
It's about valor.
Right.
You're right. It's just so many other things that are person-to-person, human-related.
Yeah.
And just as you opened it up with, who cares when it is? It could be Easter. We don't care.
Right. But at the end, he's reunited with his wife.
Yeah.
He's made this incredible friendship that will last a lifetime. These guys have gone through hell together. And when you just put that Christmas bow around it, right, it really highlights those themes in a way that I think you can make the argument. Look, I'm never going to say Die Hard is a Christmas movie, but I will say that it works as one. It can work as one, even though it was never intended as one.
And I think you could say almost the same thing about Home Alone. It's just it's a different take on a home invasion.
Right.
You know, it happens to be at that time, but for me, I mean, that beautiful house in Cleveland or somewhere.
Chicago.
But then you get one that endures that's relatively new, Elf.
Yeah, that is one that has really kind of become a staple.
Yeah.
A holiday staple. And kind of recent, you know, like you don't see a recent film that often really kind of connecting.
Yes.
But it does, as silly as it is, there's a warm heart under it all. There's this message of Christmas spirit and family. Again, you know, he's trying to connect with his father, and he gets this family in the bargain.
Yeah. And I've often thought that he does represent the overgrown kid in all of us.
That's great, right, that we still, some part of us gets excited about Christmas.
I know, it's amazing.
And being around the ones we love. I did want to talk about Gremlins for a minute.
Oh, boy.
That one always, at least in our conversations, kind of always slips through.
Yeah.
But talk about a movie that is both has horror elements.
Yeah.
You know, has clear
good
connections
one.
To
good.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
They reference it specifically. I think the mom is watching it on television at some point. But you got the horror movie. You got the family movie. You got fun. It's like that movie is really kind of it always slips my mind when we talk about great Christmas movies.
Well, I'll tell you a title that comes off frequently when you ask people who aren't as nerdy about movies as we are. Love Actually.
Yes, my wife just mentioned that this morning.
Yeah, and that's light. That's light fare.
Yeah.
I mean, 8 segments about couples and Hugh is great in it in a sense, but there's nothing magical, I think, about it, but people are just attracted to that thing.
Well, it's because of the romantic comedy aspects of it. You know,
yeah.
Just like you can wed the Christmas movie to a horror genre, or the action genre. You can also marry it to this romantic comedy genre, right?
Yep.
You are listening to Double Take, critical, sometimes confrontational, always amusing conversations about movies. We're talking about holiday movies as we must.
We do.
Every year.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Our listener expects us to do this.
And I don't, I struggle every year to find new ways to talk about this or, you know, I started to mention earlier, it's not for lack of producing them. These things are like, they make tons of these things. Yep. There's a slew of them that were made and released just this year or still yet to come out this year. One of them, I wonder if you saw it or heard about it, called Love Hard on Netflix.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, like a movie about a girl who gets catfished by a guy. She thinks she's meeting some, you know, Adonis, mm-hmm. and it turns out to be this little tiny Asian guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm sure, I haven't seen it.
Okay.
But I know that it, you know, people are talking about it.
Well, let me ask you one.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've talked about it before, and I seem to get a negative vibe from you, so I'm interested.
Yeah.
Polar Express.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
I mean, it's a different way of looking at animation,
yeah.
right? You know, you're capturing Tom Hanks in different roles.
I think it, you know, the thing that really soured me on that movie that I've never been able to kind of get past is this feeling that Robert Zemeckis was really more interested in the technology.
Right, right, yeah.
And
it does
that kind of overtakes everything.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a really good point.
And, you know, it was like he was so desperate to use that motion capture.
Yeah.
That he didn't stop to think that this is going to look weird. It's going to look uncanny.
That's great, yes.
You know what I mean? Kind of just gets in the way of it. Real quick, these holiday movies, to my point about how many are being produced. Love Hard on Netflix, Home Sweet Home Alone, a sequel on Disney Plus, A Boy Called Christmas on Netflix, 8-Bit Christmas on HBO Max, and then, like I said, Black Friday, which is in theaters. That's just a smattering of the holiday movies, you know. And the thing about the Christmas spirit is it's so surprising. In other words, just like Wham's Last Christmas, and just like Mariah Carey's Christmas song, became this like juggernaut, this staple. I need to hear it.
Yeah,
I need to hear it every year. You can't predict what holiday movie is going to cut through the cynicism, is going to cut through the sort of, you know, the protective layer that we have built up against new holiday traditions. One of them will, and you'll never know which. But 5 years from now, we might be talking about, we
but
might
I'll tell
have
you,
a movie.
You know, what, 20, 30, 40 years later, I'm still intrigued by White Christmas.
Okay.
Okay, and here's what I think to be maybe the essential Christmas film.
Okay.
Where you have song and dance, you have romance, you have Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye falling in love with George Clooney's aunt and Vera Allen.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you got a whole bunch of things going on there, plus visually delightful.
Yeah.
I always love Bing Crosby, you know, because I love the contrast between him and his professional life and him and his personal life, and just see how his talent has overcome any negatives about him personally. Anyway, I love the whole that thing endures, and I wonder, I think at that time we might have known that was going to be a classic.
Yeah,
you know,
I think they I feel like they weren't so desperate to produce one.
Good.
You know,
yes,
that if you could get the talent together and you had a relatively smart script and your heart was in the right place, it could work. Here's one that I feel like is underrated or doesn't get talked about enough, but every time I see it, I'm completely charmed and moved by it. The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh, it's cute. Yes.
1992.
Very warm. Good boy. Good one.
You know, 1992, we're talking about right around the year of like Unforgiven, Schindler's List.
Yeah, that's a heavy duty decade.
There are so many great movies are coming out at that time. A little holiday movie like this was probably just like, oh, how cute, how quaint, right? It's got a great performance by Michael Caine, sweet songs, fun, Muppet fun. It's a great It's a great holiday.
Let me offer you one.
Yeah.
The Santa Claus.
Hate it. No, you know what? I don't know that I hate it. I don't know that I've ever
Tim
seen
Allen.
It. I have no desire to see it.
I think Tim Allen is incredibly talented. I didn't go out of my way to look at any of his shows, mm-hmm. but I think as a performer, he's very... And his substituting for Santa after he causes Santa to fall from the roof is humorous to me and a completely different take on Christmas. So that's you know, we're looking for stuff that's not pigeonholed into a particular way.
I have one for you that I feel like... my family has watched over the course of the past couple years. We saw it in the theater, and I'm sure we will watch it again. And I think it might quietly be becoming a tradition in our household. Is Daddy's Home 2?
Oh my gosh!
Now, if you remember Daddy's Home, it's one of these goofball comedies with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg.
Of course.
And they're battling each other. One is the stepdad, one is the biological dad, and they have this blended family war that eventually resolves itself in friendship and mutual respect. Yeah. Well, the sequel to that movie is an out-and-out attempt to be a Christmas movie.
Okay.
And despite everything wrong with this movie, it works. You have, so, you know, adding to the tension, they introduce both Mel Gibson and John Lithgow as the respective grandparents.
Yes.
So you add another element of the tension, right? And these guys, one is obviously Mel Gibson is this gruff, toxic, masculine a-hole. And John Lithgow is, of course, the sweet, tender, sensitive father, right?
Sure. Grandfather.
And they get together for a Christmas. They get an Airbnb, and and everything about it is absurd. And the comedy is so broad and so big, but there's something that works about the holiday message.
And you're reminding me that Mel Gibson came out with something last year.
Oh yeah,
remember where he's playing the retired Santa?
Right.
I mean, what a completely different take.
Yeah.
And barely could you call that a Christmas movie. It is more.
What's the name of it?
And I'm trying to think. Funny? I was hoping that you.
So forgettable.
He has that awful beard.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he has.
It's like a gritty, realist action take on Santa.
Yes. He's got somebody coming to take him out, I think. Or
yeah, Walt Goggins.
Yes, that's right. You love Walt Goggins.
That I remember. I do remember the final showdown. I remember it took a long time to get there.
It did. It did.
Yeah, and then ultimately, how forgettable is that when you can't even remember, not you, me as well. We can't remember the title of a movie wherein Mel Gibson plays a deadly Santa.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I'm exhausted by this conversation.
It's exhausting.
I am, and you have put the damper on my Christmas spirit, except that I know that your sons are going to enjoy something, particularly Franco.
Well, I'll tell you what. My oldest, Vincent, he's been pestering me a little bit about It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh.
I've never shown them It's a Wonderful
Get Out.
Life. No.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Well, that's how deeply personal and important a film it is to me, that I feel like in some ways you need to be ready for it.
Uh-huh.
You need to want to see it. You can't be grumbling about anything. I don't want to hear any complaints about it. I want you to shut up. Open your mind. Open your heart. Put yourself back in 1946 for a second and accept the movie on its own terms and be open to its profound message of humanity. I don't think it's a thing to trifle with, but I'm very excited.
Wow.
That he came to me.
Great news.
He came to me with this, hey, when am I going to get to see this movie?
And I think that this movie can be enjoyed.
It is. It's a funny movie.
Even somebody like Franco, that depending on what age you are, there are certain elements of it.
For sure.
That you can enjoy.
For sure.
Yeah. But like Shakespeare, I don't think we should delve into Shakespeare until we're about 30.
Yeah.
You know, there are some Romeo and Juliets and Julius Caesar that we can bite off a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm agreeing with you.
All right, there you go.